Thank you, too. That was great. You can be my boss if you want to, Donna. You know, as Marilyn and I found out, for those of you that don't know, we just got back, a couple of us just got back from the Holy Land. The wilderness in the Middle East is nothing what you expect it to look like. You know, usually we think of these flat deserts and the mounds of sand. That's not like what it's like. Here's what Midian probably looked like back at the time that Moses was tending sheep. You know, it was far from this elegant palace that he was used to, you know, with plenty of water and plenty of food and slaves to do his every bidding, you know. In fact, I would almost guess that Moses thought that it probably couldn't get much worse, you know, especially after 40 years of being out there. So I think that this wilderness experience was really real for Moses. But in a sense, I think, it's a metaphor for us as well, you know. Times in our lives when maybe we failed, or times in our lives we've lost our job, we don't know what we're doing, or we just feel kind of lost, don't know what's going on. You know, we might have been on top once, like the person was about to get fired, right? And we find ourselves just struggling to wonder, who am I anymore, right? Moses, I think, felt that way for 40 years. He had to have. He had to have been talking to his God saying, what's the deal? You know, I had it all, and here I am, right? But during his first 40 years, we have to think about, what did Moses learn? He had a lot of study, didn't he? He learned leadership. He learned how to lead a people. He learned about philosophy. He learned about Egyptian law, didn't he? He learned about religion, you know. I call those kind of the gifts we're born with that we learn, right? And then in the next 40 years, he learned a very different set of skills. I kind of call those fruit of the spirit skills, because he learned humility. He learned perseverance, you know, he learned self-discipline. He learned what it meant to have faith, even when you didn't even know why you should have faith anymore, you know? And I think we all have that kind of season where we keep hoping God is going to say something or tell us something like that. But then, of course, what happens is God comes us with a burning bush. I got that burning bush when I was called to go to seminary, and this is what I wanted to do. I bet some of you can relate to that when God has called you before. Have you ever been, though, in one of those in-between times yourself, you know? Where's God taken me? When is God going to speak to me? It had been a long time since God had spoken, right? You're unemployed. You put this application in after application. You still haven't got a job, or you're in a marriage, but your marriage isn't working anymore. You don't talk to each other anymore. You don't touch each other anymore, you know? But maybe you're retired, and sometimes when you're retired, you can feel like, you're not useless. You're useless anymore. What could God possibly want to do with you, right? So you're just kind of waiting until the end gets there, right? But I wonder sometimes, could there be blessings in this period of time that you're in between? Those period of time that you're in the wilderness? For you see, not only was Moses in the wilderness, as we've been talking about the footsteps of Moses, we'll walk into the footsteps of Jesus. Where was Jesus too? Jesus went into the wilderness, didn't Jesus? So Moses goes to Mount Horeb, which means the mountain of God, and lo and behold, he sees God, right? Who would ever expect that, to see God on the mountain of God, right? It's kind of like coming to church and thinking we're going to experience God, about the same thing, right? And Moses hears God say, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And Moses does it. Do you know why? I think it was because of his mother. Because I found out with my kids when they were growing up, they could be a real mess in the house. And so I would say, take your shoes off when you come in the house. And they did it, right? Well, for a while anyway. The dogs never did learn it. You know. But truthfully, I do think it was Moses, his mother. Because remember, Moses' mother was the person that took care of him for the Pharaoh. So she would have told him all about this God of Abraham, this God of Jacob, this God of Isaac, and so that he would have learned how to recognize the voice of God. So then Moses does something that I've done many, many times, particularly, you know, when you're sitting in a class or maybe in a seminar and you're supposed to have read all this stuff and know it and you know you didn't, and the instructor calls on you and looks at the class and says, who knows this answer? What do? You put your head down because you don't want him to call on you, right? Yeah, well, God saw that and said, did it any good, Moses, because I see you here, you know, and he says, okay, Moses, pay attention. I've clearly seen my people in Egypt, you know, they're oppressed. I heard their cry of injustice. I know about their pain. I've come to rescue the Egyptians, so get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh, right? We can skip over that, but there's three things in there that I think are really important that we listen to. He said, God said he saw the oppression, right? He heard their cries and he felt their pain. And those three things cause God to act. And it's the same thing when we're in pain. God does see when things are not going well for us. God does hear our cries when we cry out in pain. And God does feel that pain with us too. And here's the thing, though, with Moses. Did God send the angels down to liberate the Israelites? No. God sent Moses, because God typically doesn't send the angels. God sends individuals like you and me. In this case, he didn't just send Moses. He sent a 80-year-old sheep herder to go against the most powerful thing there, right? But Moses has learned everything he needs to know, hasn't he? In the first part of his life, he learned all about the leadership. In the second part of his life, he learned how to be obedient to God and to follow God and to listen to the voice of God. So there couldn't be somebody that was more perfect. And then God says, again, that word, those few words that scares most of us to death when we want to go and run and hide. And he says, I'm sending who? You. I'm sending you. And I think, who? Me? No way. I'm not going. And that, because that's what God usually does. God calls the most unlikely people to go and do God's work. And I feel in my life, there seems like there's two different kinds of calls that God brings to us. The first one is what I call a short-term, kind of when I get this call, it's like, oh, that's too menial, I don't have to do that, right? It's this little thing, you know, like, okay, next week is food pantry week, which, by the way, it is. Bring some food to it, or it's like, you really need to pick up a gift card, or you need to call so-and-so, and they'll say, oh, yeah, God, I'll get around to it eventually, right? So that's the first kind of call. But then it reminds me of the scripture in Luke that says, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in big things, and if you're not, you won't be. So it reminds us that God doesn't start out saying, wow, here's your great big thing to do. God starts out with little menial things, things to see if we're going to be trusting, see if we will be faithful to God in little things, because then God knows that God can trust us. And so the second thing that God will trust us with is one of those really big things. One of the things when God says, I want you to do this and this, you think to yourself, there is no way I can do that. I am totally incapable of doing that. And that makes absolute sense, right? Why would God send you to a big job that you didn't need to take God with you? God's going to lead you to whatever that call is, right? And if we can be faithful in little ways, then we can learn to respond to God and to trust in God, that God will take care of us and God will lead the way. Moses didn't have any problem being faithful in the small ways at all, but rescuing all the Israelites, I don't think he wanted to do that. And so he did exactly what you and I would do. What did he start doing? Making excuses, right? I've done this with God before. Moses says, well, who am I to do this? And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. And then Moses says, what if the Israelites don't believe me? And God says, I'll perform miracles to prove that that God is with you, right? And Moses says, I can't even speak well. I'm slow of mouth. I am thick of tongue. I can't go. And God says, I'll help you speak, right? Here's a lesson for you. You never win a debate with God. Never, right? And then I love how this argument ends. Moses says, please, my Lord, just send somebody else. And God says, no. And Moses finally says, okay, God, send me. Isn't that the discussion we always have with God? When God says, this is something scary, this is something fearful, I know, but you're capable of doing it with me. I think the reason that when God speaks to us about doing something really big, that we're afraid to respond is because we can't see these big, bodacious dreams that God has for us. We can't imagine how something that God is talking to us about would even be possible. And that's when we're called to remember that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me, right? But here's the thing. What happens when we don't respond? I think we miss the biggest adventure. The thing in our one life that would make the most difference in the world, we miss when we're not willing to step out on faith. You know, Moses is 80 years old. He's a sheep herder. He knows if he goes back to Egypt, what are they probably going to do? Kill him, right? He knows that. So who would blame him if he didn't go? And who would blame you if you didn't go either? No doubt God would have sent somebody else, because God's plan will be accomplished no matter what we do, no matter if we don't participate or not. But what about Moses? What would he have missed? What about if he hadn't seen these amazing things that God was about to do? So here's what I'm hoping for you today, that your takeout is on this. When God gives you this big, bodacious, impossible assignment that you turn around and say to God, before you say, I don't want to, and argue with God, say this, God, just send me, because I know that you're going to be faithful to me. And it won't be easy, but when in your life have you ever done anything that wasn't worthwhile when you had to stretch yourself and you had to learn and you had to do something differently? So this week, I want you to think about that blessings come after obedience, which they certainly did for the Israelites and Moses. And I want you to think about where you are. Are you in that in-between time where you're waiting for God to respond? Can you remain faithful in that in-between time and be willing to step up to the plate when God calls? Or are you sitting there today thinking, God's calling me to this big, bodacious dream, and I don't know if I'm up to it? Be willing to step up to the plate and say, send me. Whichever way it is, listen to God, pray, and be ready to go. While the worship team comes forward, let's pray. Lord God, when life gets hard in the wilderness, help me to have the determination to trust and to listen for your voice. Keep my heart always open and compassionate, and to respond, yes, Lord, send me when you call. Amen.